We're going to turn to God's Word in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and reading from the verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he has promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. The subject tonight is a glorious statement. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What a statement from the lips of the Apostle Paul. And of course, there were many things in his past life he was ashamed of, no doubt. He was ashamed that he had been a persecutor of the church of God, that he'd hounded and harassed the saints of God. He had breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sought by all means to imprison and put to death those who identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 7 tells us that he was there and consented to the death of Stephen, who was stoned to death by the haters and despisers of the gospel. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, concerning what they did to Stephen, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. No doubt he was ashamed of his involvement in the martyrdom of Stephen. But a transformation took place in the life of this man, and he was saved by the grace of God on the Damascus Road. And he was no longer a persecutor of the children of God, but he became a proclaimer of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He embraced the glorious truth of salvation. He was now saved, and he began serving the same master, and things were entirely different. He viewed things in a new light, the light into which he had entered, the light of the gospel of Christ. It is this same gospel that has been preached as far as this congregation is concerned over 70 years. from that first servant to this servant. And God willing, will continue in the days, in the weeks and months that are ahead. Paul said here in verse 15, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And Paul was not ashamed of this message. And this church and this body of believers is not ashamed of this message. And we still proclaim it and will continue into days to come. And Paul sets before us here his great conviction in the words of this wonderful statement of our text. May the Lord write these words upon our hearts tonight. There are five things that I want to say about this text tonight. First of all, the declaration. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Perhaps a little understanding of the culture will help us to understand why some might have been ashamed of preaching the message that Paul had been given. First of all, we could think of the moral condition of that day. Nero was the emperor of Rome. He was a wicked, degenerate man. The city of Rome was a cesspool of sin and wicked living. The gospel Paul preached was diametrically opposed to everything that Rome was. And then also because Paul was a Jew. Jews were considered by many to be a subhuman race. They were fit for nothing but to be despised and to be mistreated and to be enslaved. Ordinary Jews would have been tempted to shy away from non-Jews. And then also because the gospel Paul was preaching was almost unbelievable. Think of it. The Savior that Paul was preaching was a male member of the despised Jewish race. He was said to be the Savior of man. He claimed to be the Son of God, even God himself. And he also claimed to be man. His death was different from others. And then he died on a Roman cross, the symbol of shame. But in dying that death, he was said to die for a world of sinners lost. And that wasn't enough, for it was said that he had risen from the dead the third day. And to many people, the claims of the gospel were too bizarre to believe. Things haven't changed much today, for men still despise the gospel. Men and women across this world still have no time for Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And then, of course, Paul everywhere went preaching the cross. He was ridiculed. He was cast out. He was imprisoned. He was treated cruelly. Many would not have been able to endure the shame of the cross. And with all of these things in mind, it's easy to see why Paul would want to be clear about his commitment to the gospel message. He would want these people to know that they were hearing from a man who believed this message, who believed it in his very heart, who wanted to share this message to all and sundry. Paul was not ashamed of this message. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news. He was willing to proclaim it. He had confidence in this message. He was standing four square upon this message, and so are we tonight. And so is this church tonight. And so has this church been down through the decades of time. The story is told of Brownlow North, who was a famous evangelist. A lady said to him she would come and interrupt the service the next time he stood on the pulpit to preach and expose his wicked life. At that time, although preaching, Brownlow North was not saved, had not been converted to Christ, but in the meantime, he got saved. He came to Christ and he went to the pulpit and told the story of how he had lived in wickedness and in sin, but now he was saved. He was not ashamed to declare the message of the gospel. How he was used of God mightily from that day forward. The reformers were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Luther said this, "I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I could do no otherwise. God help me. Amen." Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, "According to my expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death." And the evidence that Paul was not ashamed is before us throughout his life and ministry. What a life of ministry he had, through great traumas, through great trials, through many tears, through much persecution. He stood firm. He stood true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an example the Apostle Paul is to us tonight. An example of one who was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And what an encouragement it is for us tonight in 2023. What an encouragement it ought to be for you and your congregation here in Newton Abbey, celebrating 70 years of gospel witness, to continue to be steadfast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we say tonight, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." What a declaration. But the second thing is this, the description. It's the gospel of Christ. You see the source of this gospel. Any message that was handed down from Caesar would immediately get the attention of the Romans. But the message of the gospel is from and about the Son of God. In the opening sentence of this epistle, Paul calls it the gospel of God. Romans 1, verse 1. How could Paul be ashamed of such a message when it came from God himself? It centered upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told of one who was chosen at his high school to be an office monitor. And there he was, sitting outside the door of the principal's office. He was entrusted with important messages that he had to deliver to different teachers in that school, and staff members, on occasion even to other schools. He was never afraid or ashamed to carry those messages because those messages came from the principal. We carry the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are not ashamed tonight. The source of this message. Think of the substance of this message. The substance of this message is Christ. He is central. He is at the heart of this message. A gospel without Christ, my friends, is another gospel. It is not the gospel proclaimed in this Bible that we have tonight, God's infallible, inspired word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great definition of the gospel in those first verses there. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And reading the subsequent verses, you can see that it's centered upon Christ, that Christ died for our sins, that Christ was buried, that he rose again. What a message. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. You remember Philip, when he met with the Ethiopian eunuch, he opened at Isaiah 53, and of course the man didn't understand what he was reading. But Peter preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. And that's the message that has been heralded forth by the Lord's servant from this pulpit and those who have come before him in the ministry of God's word. Substance of the message. "For I have not shunned," said Paul, "to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the very heart of this. Yes, the source of the message, the substance of the message, but then there's the suitability of the message. It is this gospel that reaches out to men and women in every situation of life. It reaches you tonight, whatever your situation may be. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, the gospel reaches you. It reaches men and women and boys and girls of every background. It reaches the pauper in the lowest place in this world. It reaches the prince in the highest place of this world. It reached Saul of Tarsus with all his religion, yet his hatred of Christ. It reached the thief on the cross and all his irreligion. It reached Lazarus in his poverty. It reached the centurion of the band called the Italian Band. I don't care what your situation may be of life, what your station may be in this world tonight. The gospel is suitable for you. The gospel is suitable for you. It can meet you at the point of your need tonight. You can be saved by this gospel. The sweetness of this message. There never can be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love for me. Love that brought him from the throne of glory just to save a sinful soul like me. Next Sunday, 15th of January, I will have my birthday, my spiritual birthday. All those years ago when I came to Christ, over 50 years ago. I know you didn't believe I was that age, but I am. The sweetness of this message. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We sinful and condemned can be cleansed and brought nigh to God through faith in Jesus Christ. We can be saved from wrath to come through his blood. What a story. What a message. How marvelous. How wonderful is my Savior's love to me. Have you experienced the sweetness of this message? Are you still drinking at the gall and bitterness of this world and its pleasures? The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Think of the dynamic of this message. It's the power of God. This message is powerful. Power is the one thing that Rome boasted of the most. Greece had its philosophy. Rome had its power. The fear of Rome hovered over the empire like a cloud. Were they not the conquerors? Were not the Roman legions stationed in all over the known world? But with all the military power, Rome was still a weak nation. It was described by one as a cesspool of iniquity, by another as the filthy sewer into which the dregs of the empire flooded. No wonder Paul was not ashamed. He was taking to sinful Rome the one message that had the power to change men's lives. He'd seen the gospel work in wicked cities such as Corinth and Ephesus. He was confident that also at Rome he would see God working. It had transformed his own life. He knew it could transform the lives of others. This word power comes from a word that refers to might and energy and force and strength that dwell within God. Dynamic. Dynamic power. The power of God. My friend, may you know that power. The power of the gospel in your life tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ can work that work of grace in your heart. The power of God can be manifested in your heart tonight. But then you'll notice, fourthly, the deliverance. The power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. The word salvation carried tremendous meaning in Paul's day. Its basic meaning is deliverance. And it was applied to personal and national deliverance. The emperor was looked upon as a savior, as was the physician who healed a person of their illness. The gospel delivers from the penalty and power of sin. Salvation. This is the major theme in this letter. Salvation is the great need of the human race. And Paul's great desire was, he expressed it there at the start of Romans 10, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And if men and women and young people are to be saved, it is through faith in Jesus Christ proclaimed in the gospel. The word salvation also carries with it the idea of being rescued from all harm and danger. And God's desire in saving sinners is for to deliver them from spiritual death, spiritual defilement, spiritual deception, spiritual destruction. the end of all sinners outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, tonight, if you're not saved in this meeting, you're facing the awfulness of a Christless and undone eternity. But it need not be so tonight. You can be delivered from your sin. The Lord can change your life completely. Take you off that broad road that leads to everlasting destruction and set you on that narrow way that leads to heaven. This is so great salvation. You can know the deliverance of the gospel right now in this meeting tonight. The hymn writer put it like this: He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Oh, by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. He is able to deliver thee. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The truth is, friend, you will not escape. You will not escape. You will find yourself in a lost and in a Christless and on eternity. Though may you know the deliverance of the gospel tonight. But then you have the definiteness. You see, there's a definiteness here because it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How definite this is. God does not ask men to behave in order to be saved, but to believe. To believe. It is faith that is the vital ingredient that saves the sinner. Eternal life in Christ is received by believing on the Son of God. Will you believe tonight to the saving of your soul? Thank God, God gives to sinners the gift of saving faith, enabling them to believe so that they're able to step out in the promise and get under the blood. Faith in Christ. Eternal life in Christ is received by believing on the Son of God. Biblical salvation does not involve complicated religious rituals or ornate and elaborate religious exercises. Salvation is the product of faith. Many today, sadly, we see it on our television screens, don't we? We see it all the time. People going through all of these exercises and thinking in their darkness that that will give to them eternal life. Not so, my friend. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, this is the point where many people stumble. People like to do things themselves. They like to feel that they have a part in everything in their lives. But in the matter of salvation, the sinner can do nothing. It is all of God. Salvation comes to the person who's willing to simply receive the message of God. God so loved the world, we've put it before, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did Paul and Silas say to the Philippian jailer? Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Have you believed to the saving of your soul? We're thankful that the Lord kept His gospel inexpensive and easy to understand. My question is tonight to you, what are you trusting in this evening? We have been given a wonderful gospel. One worth believing, one worth sharing. Are you trusting Christ for salvation tonight? Christian, are you sharing this message around this world, where you are in life? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. And the same message that saved Paul and saved many in this meeting tonight can save you. Maybe you're a backslider. You've wandered away from God. Friend, you can return tonight and be restored to the joy of God's salvation. There's a man in the church in Ballygowan. He came for many years after I first went there in 2004. He got very mad at the preacher and at certain hymns that I would choose. I discovered he was in a badly backslidden condition, far away from God. He used to try to come out when he thought I wouldn't be tailoring the message for him, but of course, you see the people in the meeting, you give the message as the Lord leads you, and of course the message came across to his heart, and again he seemed to get madder and madder as he went out. Why did you choose that hymn and things like that? Why did you say that in the service? But one night I said to his wife, asking about him, how is he? It seems as if he's been out more at the services. And she said, yes, feel the Lord's dealing with him. She went home that night. She said, Mr. Smiley, I was asking for you. He said, I need to ring that man. For he said, I was driving the bus. He's a bus driver. I was driving the bus to Cumber. The other day I had to stop the bus to get right with God. He stopped the bus, a bus crowded with people. He stopped the bus and sought the Lord and was restored to the Lord. My friend, this is the gospel. It's what the gospel does. And maybe tonight you need to be restored or you need to be saved. Well, it can happen tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight.